Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hello everyone, welcome to Red Men Radio, the Liverpool podcast. I am Paul Machin. I am joined by Chris Pajak, who becomes the first man in the history of the world to get a stitch by sitting
down.
I'm
in real pain.
It can't be a stitch.
It's a stitch, I know what a stitch is.
Well, I know, but you also know that a stitch is something that you get via like strenuous physical activity.
Well, it's to do with the oxygen intake, isn't it, and your lungs and stuff like that, yeah. I think. So okay. That's why I was exhaling as much as I could out of my lungs and then breathing back in and stuff.
Okay, super. We're going to kick off question.
I don't know if that's the truth.
This week comes via Steve Carson.
I'm sure Twitter will let me know.
Good mate of ours. Let us know, actually. Is it possible to get a stitch just being
immobile? I mean, it is possible because I've got one right now.
I mean, but what I'm saying is, if it's not possible, then you've got something else and that also needs addressing. These people might save your life here.
This is true. Please save me.
Yeah, this is like that story about someone put a photo of them, a selfie of themselves online, and they had like a mad little thing on the corner, and someone went, "That's the early signs of cancer," and they got it checked out and were saved. You could save Chris's life.
Please
let
do.
Us know. Or you could stir up some real fear and anxiety instead.
Don't make me self-diagnose.
Steve Carson, you're 100 yards from goal, which I think is too many for this question, but nevertheless.
4 yards outside the 6 yard box.
In your own half. And you need to score right now. Zabby-esque. That's not Zabby-esque. That is, just to clarify, that is Sander Vesterveld-esque.
Yes.
There's a current Liverpool player standing next to you. You pass the ball to him and he shoots. Ideally, who did you just pass the ball to and will he score? Again, if we're talking our own 6 yard box, I'm going Sander Vesterveld all day long because we waited. People will forget.
Do you
this.
Know something we don't know here? Have Liverpool re-signed Sander Vesterveld?
Yeah, I know. I'm just the only player I can think of who I've ever known to be capable of that kind of thing because he came with that reputation and we always wanted him to score from his own area, but it never happened.
Let's start a rumour that Liverpool are signing Sander Vesterveld and he's now a current Liverpool.
We've got a couple of weeks before we can do that. We got Babel to Newcastle last transfer window. We can probably do the same. Go on, who are you going for?
Okay, so there's two players that I sort of tossed up between. I went with Virgil van Dijk in the end.
Ooh.
Yeah, I just like the way that he absolutely belt free kicks.
Okay.
And I trust him to be able to hit it hard enough that he'll be able to get it in. Jordan Henderson was the other guy because I think his long range passing is probably the best in the squad.
Yeah.
Crunch time, I've gone VVD.
Okay. It's obviously
like a driver in golf.
Well, it's funny because we've done the Xabi Alonso challenge, and regular viewers on the channel will have seen the few of them that we've done. Most people go for elevation. I remember Jordan Rossiter doing it, and he basically just blammed it into the top bin pretty much. So there's a variation in technique. I like the Van Dijk shot, if I'm honest, but it's not, obviously he did it closer last season against Man City. If you're going to go with someone who's got the eye for goal, I'm probably going Salah. I don't want him that far away from the goal, if I'm honest, but I would don't look beyond the guy who scored 50 goals in a campaign. So I would have to be boring and go with Mohamed Salah in that regard. Outside of the box shouts, maybe like a Trent.
Yeah, that's something. A good shout. That's a very good shout.
I like Van Dijk, if I'm honest. I think that's the winner. Right, before we press on, podcast today sponsored by Vanarama. Need to make mention of this, Chris, because this is absolutely incredible. When you lease a vehicle with Vanarama, you receive £100 in Amazon vouchers. And even better than that, every time you refer a friend to lease a Vanarama vehicle, you receive another £100 in Amazon vouchers.
Can you explain that to me one more time?
So, listen, go to Vanarama, lease a van. get £100 in Amazon vouchers. And what, when you're doing that, refer a friend, get them to do it, and you get another 100.
What if I refer another friend?
Well, and ad nauseum, Chris, do it until you have just literally got so many Amazon £100 vouchers that you can swim in them Scrooge McDuck style.
That sounds great.
That sounds pretty decent. Here's the thing. I think there's a misconception around some of this. I had this, if I'm being perfectly honest, leading up to the, obviously, I was partnering with Vanarama, is I just thought of them as being like the white van people. Like, yeah, if you work on a building site, go and get yourself a van. It's not. I was astounded. The van that we used for the Champions League final was like, it was Pimp My Ride stuff.
It was the
best vehicle I've ever been in. So, you know, if you want to do something, if you're looking to get a bunch of people like minibus style, you want to hire something in that kind of regard, take a bunch of people on a trip or a road trip or whatever, then highly recommend. It's not just about, you know, getting vans that you can load stuff into or whatever. It's about getting somewhere in style and also do it and get loads and loads of Amazon vouchers as well. Yes, Chris, we're going to be talking about Klopp's potential preference for senior players this season. We're taking a bunch of your questions as well later on. However, let's get through the news in brief before we do. You sat down to do the news show Tuesday morning.
And Monday morning, and Wednesday, probably until
Liverpool sign a goalkeeper and an attacking mid. Alisson and Fekir. Let's start with the Alisson. There was just lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of Alisson bollocks during the round,
yes,
including the one, and this is peak Twitter. He's removed Roma from his Instagram bio. At time of recording, I haven't seen any proof that Roma was in his Instagram bio, but all we know is it's not there, and it stands to reason that he's removed it, and therefore that means that he's defo not. He might be joining Liverpool.
It's true, Paul. I got no idea whether it was there, so I can't tell you whether he's removed it or not. All I know is that it's not there now. Mm-hmm. His agent also liked that kit or that edit of him in a half Liverpool kit and stuff like that. And then you see, there's just so much stuff going around. But
if this guy's that good and he could be a goalkeeper for a decade, then I'm starting to, I do lean more towards the just pay what needs to be paid. But what I also said about goalkeepers, and I can't remember whether I said this in just in comments with people on YouTube, the problem with goalkeepers is you go and spend £70 million on Alisson and he drops an absolute bollock in a Champions League final and you've got to get rid of him. You know what I mean? And we should probably count ourselves lucky we paid so little for Karius. And look, I know this, there's nuances to this point I'm trying to make, of course, because you'd argue if someone's worth more money, then they're just better, aren't they? But this is the thing, is that there's going to be a lot of pressure on that guy coming in regardless. We actually did the Transfer Latest podcast on Monday. Thanks for everyone who obviously listened to that one or watched the video version. If you want more of that, this kind of stuff, obviously we do two transfer shows of the week at the moment. There's the Transfer Latest on a Monday and there's the Reds Transfer Roundup in midweek with Steve Hoare. We talked a lot about the goalkeeper merry-go-round in that, and I do wonder whether we'll see, once we see a touch of movement on that, you might see Liverpool emerge in the transfer market.
Could be dominoes, couldn't it?
Yeah, because, again, we just don't, at the minute we've talked about this, but Alisson, we know he wants Real Madrid. When that option closes off, we might be able to truly gauge his interest in a Liverpool move or not. Once he's not got one eye kind of looking over there and he's able to squarely look across the negotiation table at you, that might change things, and maybe we might just see someone become available. It's kind of crazy that there's nothing really concrete there at the moment. This is where we're at, and we'll come on to Fekir now, is that in the absence of solid information, we are living off scraps at the moment and trying to work things out, and we should all just be able to ignore this, really, to the best of our ability. Liverpool are doing live training videos. Watch them, you know, come and have general discussions about the Reds instead. You know, watch highlights from the pre-season. We're looking at Fekir now. So this is a week where we've had Alisson's agent liking things, the Roma Instagram bio thing. Some people chanted Liverpool at Fekir in an airport. He kind of looked back and smiled, which is really hard to make out because it's not a great video quality. And these are all the things that were like, that points towards. All points towards Liverpool. This is the world we're living in right now, Chris, where you've got no information we need. Because there's no planes to track. This is the bullshit that we have to live with.
It is, unfortunately, and it's difficult. And you know, I must admit, I've said for the last couple of weeks, probably since just before the World Cup started, since his medical, I didn't see Liverpool coming back in. But the more and more that these stories start cropping up, it feels like there's more to this than the Alisson stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like there's concrete stuff here that you can get involved with. I think, you know, Leon and their president coming out and saying that they want a deal wrapped up in 2 weeks and essentially shortening the window for us by 9 days, on the surface looks a bit stupid.
Yeah.
Because the transfer window ends on the 9th of August or whatever. But actually, if they need a replacement, then it absolutely makes perfect sense for them to shut the door a little bit earlier,
yeah,
and be able to spend that money over the next 9 days. That's obviously something for Keir's representatives, if you believe the rumours, are meeting with Leon today. What that means for Liverpool, who knows?
Yeah.
It could just mean that he wants to move full stop.
Or get a new contract or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It could be absolutely anything. But I think it's clear that Fekir did want to come to Liverpool. Liverpool were interested. Liverpool are stingy, so it wouldn't surprise me if we did see Liverpool try and stagger a deal out over a few months.
Yeah.
Although the absolute rubbish coming out of Twitter with the refund policy.
Yes.
No.
Total bollocks.
Not going to happen.
Total bollocks. So, yeah, just to clarify on that.
He now follows me on Twitter, that guy.
Amazing. There was a rumour that...
And
yeah,
he thanked
Liverpool,
me for publicising his work.
Wow. Liverpool were apparently going to request a refund policy in the Fekir deal. So if he broke down, we were getting moved back. It's horseshit. Total and utter horseshit.
The thing is, I'm going to do this with everything now. I'm going to go into, like, you know, my phone shop and be like, can I make sure that I can get a refund if it just stops working?
I mean, that's what you warrant. That's called a warranty.
But, like, it doesn't cover all the stuff that's into my phone, yeah, does it, to be fair?
Yeah, absolutely.
A proper one where it's like, well, I want a refund for me dropping the phone and standing on it.
Yeah, absolutely. Which you did.
I did in the Champions League final. And then I skated on it, which is why it's all scratched.
Yeah. we'll know more as and when we get a bit closer to all this. I've said it before, it doesn't take a genius to understand that we're probably going to see, if we're going to make movements, the most likely movements we'll make will be in the next week or so.
Well, the other thing is, Fekir is on holiday for 2 weeks, isn't he? And they set the deadline as 2 weeks, so it kind of makes sense that you want to get it done so that if he's not going back to Leon, basically, he's coming back to Liverpool. And these all feel like, well, they sound realistic, and it's all that type of stuff, isn't it? But let's not be honest, clickbait journalists know what we're after. And we're looking for a crumb of evidence that could suggest that that's why they've done that.
The more random and long-winded the story, the more believable it is.
Exactly. Vieira's house.
Whereas realistically,
tickets back in the day.
Realistically, what we're just going to have is, it's going to leak about 4 hours before it actually gets signed. And then everyone goes, I'm not sure about this. And half people go, that's total bollocks. And the other half go, oh, I believe that. And then it'll just be announced by Liverpool and it'll be done, hopefully sooner rather than later. Couple of little bits of out news then. Apparently we've got a £20 million valuation of Danny Ings. Go ahead. If we get that £20 million for Danny Ings, Chris, it's another one of those situations where, and this always gets forgotten, whenever we have a little lull in Liverpool not being the absolute dog's bollocks at everything they do, people come out and go, oh, well, aren't they a disgrace? FSG and Michael Edwards and all that, get them in the bin. If we manage to get 20 million for Ings, it's another example of us getting just amazing value from us selling players on.
It is, but I think take the injuries away, and I think he's probably worth about that. And it's difficult, of course. You can't take the injuries away, can you? But he's probably going to get, if he starts every game in a Premier League season, what did he get, 11 last time out at Burnley before he moved to us?
I'd say
probably 15 goals a season. I think so. If he's the main man in the side and he's playing every single week, I don't see the 20 million's too expensive at all.
I think
for what you're getting, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, this is that, but that's the thing, is that I think 20 million for Ings 2 seasons ago, you're like, okay, yeah, I can see a reality of that. And you're right, the reason
he's not scored goals is he's not played regularly.
Yeah.
You know, 20 minutes here and 20 minutes there. You'd have wanted more from him last season, of course you would.
Yeah.
Because he did have a few opportunities and stuff. But I don't think it's out of the realms of possibility that he's worth 20 million quid. And I think more importantly than basing him on what he's done last season is, if he does move and plays in a side, I think he will prove that he's worth 20 million.
I hope so for him. I think it's that thing of, at the minute, all you can guarantee is you're just buying another Shane Long. you can guarantee is you're buying a guy who'll run around loads and get stuck in. I'm trying not to be fair. I really like Danny Ings. I think he's a really talented footballer. But until he proves that goals, there'll be a club. The beauty is there's clubs in the bottom half of the Premier League who will take that gamble, because if they can get him working, if they can get 10 goals out of him, then 10 goals is a lot of goals once you're in the bottom, you know, 11, 12 places in the Premier League. So fair play if Liverpool do it, good on them. But in the minute, no takers. Harry Wilson.
So rumours of Southampton yesterday. That's been poo-pooed today.
Yeah.
But Palace have turned up today is sure. The rumour.
Sure. Great.
Go figure. Give us half off Zaha, please.
Definitely a top deal. It's interesting, Palace, because they're apparently after Antonio as well, aren't they, from West Ham, looking to rebuild that, restructure that front line. You can't get it. I love that there's football clubs that it's just a nice, well-trodden path of them giving us money for players that we could just do with getting off the books. I'm very pleased with that. West Ham look to have upped their game a bit in the transfer market, so if Palace want to fulfil that role, that's absolutely fine. Harry Wilson looks like he's going to join Derby. I had a chat with him, our good mate Matt Wilson from Ball Street, Huddersfield fan, who thought that this was lined up for them for a little while, and he's apparently chosen not to go to Premier League Huddersfield and instead go to Championship Derby. It doesn't make sense to me until I remember or was reminded that Frank Lampard's in charge. And they might, you know, Derby, I think they're going to be, I don't know where I talked to someone about this, but he was at Hull last season, dragged them out the relegation zone. It's not the step up I think maybe we were all hoping for. I think a Premier League loan, I'd like to see him tested in the Premier League. But Derby are likely, Chris, going to be in and around the mix for the playoffs, which means he's going to have a bit more competitive, you know, nice big stadium, good fan base, historic football club, and he gets to learn off Frank Lampard.
Frank Lampard's trying to get a few youngsters in, and his name should be enough to get a lot of these guys over the line and stuff. And to be fair, look, said over the years a lot of things about Frank Lampard, but an unbelievable player and someone of Wilson's age, you know, he would have been an idol,
yeah,
regardless of club, because you just look at him and he was one of the best of his generation.
Yeah.
And much in the same way that players want to play for Steven Gerrard, Lampard's got the same aura and he's got that same pull that Steven Gerrard's got. And you know what, fair play. If Harry Wilson wants to go and learn off one of the English greats, then fair play to him.
Yeah, no, sound. Okay, then let's get stuck into it. The topic, I could do with a more succinct title for this, but I've got the moment with Klopp preference. Senior player this season, should have put an S in there, been less succinct. Anyway, and a lot of this stems from the Daniel Sturridge chat we've had, and we'll revisit him certainly within this, because I think it's an important point to make. But I wonder, and some of this comes out of the Harry Wilson stuff as well, that if our balance this season, Chris, is going to be more leaning towards proven talent than maybe it's been in years before. And I think we've seen a shift in our transfer policy since Klopp's come in. People go on about, again, the FSG under 23 model. I don't think we've really adhered to that. I think we've been buying more and more players who are either in or just have just entered or about to enter their prime years. And I think given the pressures Liverpool are under this year in terms of having to put together a concrete Premier League title challenge, let's go from the front back for this. Liverpool's understudies in the attacking positions last season just simply weren't good enough. And if you're going to catch Manchester City, you're not going to get any more goals out of that front three. So you need to guarantee to the best of your ability that goals and assists are free-flowing from more positions. And sadly, that might mean we're going to preference a Divock Origi, for example, over a Harry Wilson.
Yeah, maybe. Two things. I'm going to start with the first point you made about the FSG model. I think the whole transfer market's changed around that, first and foremost. I think what you've seen over the last sort of 5 years is that value's held for a lot longer nowadays. Example being, and a great example, Cristiano Ronaldo moving at 33.
Mm-hmm.
And all right, he's almost the top of the pyramid. But players do move at 29 and 30 years old for huge amounts of money nowadays. Yeah. Whereas I think what, 7-8 years ago when FSG first took over, that wasn't as prevalent maybe as it is today. So I think that's probably helped with that.
Yeah.
And secondly, I just think you're kind of right on the rest of it. I think, you know, we saw with Solanke last season, one goal from him. We saw what Origi was able to do over at Wolfsburg with his 7 goals over there. it's important that Liverpool don't have the same kind of September and October, I think it was, when the Champions League first started up again this season. Because if we're after a Premier League title, and whether we think we can do it or not, that's Klopp's aim.
Yeah.
And that's what he will be aiming for. He knows that he can't get away with draws during those games anymore. And he saw the limitations of his squad. Yeah. You know, we go and beat Arsenal 4-0. I think the next game was, did we get beat 5-0 by Man City in the Premier League or something like that? Then there's a couple of draws, a couple of poor results. Obviously got some Champions League games, and we get tonked by Tottenham 4-0. And then we started to come out the back end of it last season, didn't we? And it was that real period there where we probably lost 15 points on Manchester City.
Yeah.
And it was a 25-point gap come the end of the season.
Yeah.
So we've got to be able, especially this season, especially with the World Cup going on and every team having to almost deal with main players coming back and not being a part of the side, you kind of either you're trusting your kids from week one or you've got to make a decision on it. And I think it's too important a year for Liverpool for them to be able to take too many risks with regard to young players.
Yeah, exactly that. And it's interesting because we're seeing Sturridge, obviously, in pre-season, and there's no getting away from it. Look, we all know, no sense of us having the conversation about Daniel Sturridge's fitness issues. They are what they are. But you can't escape the fact that of the players that we have in that squad, and look, Klopp's right to say it, you know, and I think we've been quite clear on certain situations with regards to the transfers. Like, I think he says, doesn't he, like, the kids, the conversation with kids and the conversation with senior players is just a different conversation. Like, we don't talk about the senior players, like, finding moves for them. That's not how he builds.
They're our players.
Builds the squad. Exactly. We look at them and say, can we get them, you know, can we get them fit? Can we get use out of them? And then they make the decisions off the back of that. He's basically saying, like, he's happy with the squad. He's looking to add to his squad, not make his squad smaller. Whereas the young players, they have to look at their development and they have to decide what's the best way to get them the games they need to make them either, A, well, first and foremost, useful assets for Liverpool, but secondly, if you can't, how do you then make them as valuable as possible to then buy assets that are useful for Liverpool? And the Daniel Sturridge thing, I was looking into it, and I think what we're going to see is it's almost like we don't quite know in terms of a numerical value how many players we're going to hold this season. But when you look at them, the players that are lined up there, I think it's very clear that we just have far too many players who play in that centre forward position who don't quite have the versatility that we're maybe looking for. And when you line them up in terms of that goal return, Chris, you know, we know Ings is going to be kind of portioned off and pushed over to one side.
I don't think he would be.
No, I agree.
By the way,
yeah, I think, like I said, I think it's been publicised and Klopp likes him, but it maybe in some regards Ings kind of makes this conversation a little bit easier by taking himself out of the equation. But if you were to line up there, if you line up Solanke, Brewster, Origi and Sturridge, and you put them all alongside, you get them in a squawker stack comparison or whatever, Daniel Sturridge is going to come out on top in all of them. And Divock Origi is going to come second, because these are both, you know, Origi 23, Sturridge is about to turn 29 in September. They're senior players, and although you could argue that neither of them fit our style of play, this season in particular, do you take a gamble? Would you rather have lads who fit your system but don't score goals, or lads who don't quite fit your system but do score goals?
I don't know. I think I'm basing this off the fact that the World Cup's happened, and, you know, we've got players coming back late and stuff like that, and, you know, players who won't have had a full pre-season under the belts. And you look at the lads like Divock Origi, and you look at lads like Daniel Sturridge, you've had a full pre-season. Klopp rates that very, very highly. Mm-hmm. You're looking at maybe not getting players back for a couple of weeks into the season, a lot of teams around the top six, and you're thinking to yourself, why wouldn't Klopp just say, listen, let's see what game time you get, because we've got a lot of games coming up. We've got two cup competitions. We don't want to go out of the League Cup as early this season. We want to go far in the FA Cup. We want to try and win that, and we've got the Champions League games and the Premier League. What about January, lads? Judge me on January. Mm-hmm. If I haven't given you the game time, or you're not involved in the setup, then let's get through this really hard part of the season where everyone's going to be struggling, and let's not lose any ground to any of the teams around us.
I totally agree. I think this is the season where, because I think the big issue you have in holding big squads is how do you juggle things, and we will have issues, but I think this is that season where that job's never been easier than it is this season, because you're going, all you lads who missed out on the Champions League final, bear in mind, like, again, I mean, Daniel Sturridge wouldn't have been fit for it per se. Well, maybe he was, but you know, but yeah, exactly.
I mean, he still wouldn't.
There's a few of these conversations. You know, look what we've done. You want to be involved in this? Would you rather be a bit part player involved in something mega for this club and you don't have to buy a new house? Or do you want to go and be a more prevalent part of a side that's going to scrap for relegation or do fuck all? Well, that's an easier conversation. There's also the point that you're alluding to there. There's just going to be a lot more rotation this year. There's going to have to be, because players are coming back with their fitness levels all over the place because of the World Cup. And as you say, looking to challenge more competitively on the other fronts, we saw that we let ourselves down with depth because of the League Cup and the FA Cup last season. In fact, you know, apart from the season we got to the final, the League Cup every season under Klopp so far. And when you get to the business end of the season, even, we're going to need, because we saw it last season, there's just going to be games for players, and we're going to need options. And I just think this is a season where I don't think we're going to cut off our nose to spite our face. I don't think we're going to go, well, how are we going to manage these egos? How are we going to manage such a large squad? Well, fuck it. If someone ends up with no games, I'm dead sorry. You know, you play for
Liverpool.
Yeah.
We pay your wages.
Yeah.
That's kind of it, isn't it? Yeah. You know what I mean? And yeah, that's kind of the point, is that there are rumours of players going out, but are they strong rumours of Sturridge going out? Are there strong rumours of Wijnaldum going out? Are there strong rumours of Divock Origi going out? No. Now, we're saying on the other side of the fence, when we're looking to bring people in, you know, there's loads more rumours about bringing Alisson in, and even then we're saying, well, it's probably unlikely.
Yeah.
We're not, these lads aren't, there's 3 weeks left and no one's coming in for these lads at the moment that we know of. It might be that we've put a not for sale sign up.
Yeah, and to be fair, you wonder with the likes of some of those lads, you might see the like of an Origi, for an example. He's got all the hallmarks of, and Solanke, I think Origi and or Solanke, that last week of the transfer window.
Maybe.
They're the ones where someone comes in and goes, oh my God, they've got no goals on this side. What are we going to do? Who's on the list? Filter by interested. Yes. Yeah. Origi.
But then equally, it might be, hang on a minute, Liverpool didn't get the Fekir deal over the line, so we need someone.
Yeah.
And if it means we might have to go two up top to fit those players in because we didn't make a signing, then we need players who can do that for us.
The thing I think is really interesting, and this could be completely disproved. This will all be largely disproven by us just selling Daniel Sturridge finally. And if it does, fine, because it can put this conversation to bed and I can stop worrying about it. But I look at Man City last year, and Gabriel Jesus is who that side is built to function around. Now, of course, its legacy has got Aguero at the pinnacle of it, and Aguero is a phenomenal player, so he makes things easier. But, and I'm not saying Sturridge and Aguero are the same player, but I wonder whether Jurgen Klopp will have looked at that last year and gone, their main man missed the vast majority of the season again, and Aguero just stepped in and scored 20 goals.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And I wonder whether he's just thinking, what are my alternatives? What am I going to be faced with? If you're going to fall down, if you're going to be left with someone in a pinch,
He's changed things every season, Jürgen. Mm-hmm. Like, last season was the first time we really saw him rotate heavily at the start of the season, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because the year before, we failed in the January period, wasn't it? The year before. And so he's learning constantly on the job what this league is about and what these lads are about at Liverpool Football Club. And he will change again. And he has to. Do you know why? Because he hasn't won the frigging league.
Yeah.
So he has to keep changing. He has to keep evolving. He has to keep just changing slight things here and there. And it might be a big regret of his, letting Daniel Sturridge go out and letting Origi go out last season. It might well be a big regret.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I look at it and I just think there's a real... Let's use an example of Roberto Firmino as well. So we don't know what kind of condition he's going to be. He's going to come back in midway through the...
It's going to be perfect. That's the condition he's come back in.
Sure. Like his mad blonde hair. He's going to come back midway through the US tour and we're going to get an idea of him. I think back to Daniel Sturridge in... And this is, again, he's not 13, 14 Sturridge, but what we had in that situation was a world where Luis Suarez missed the start of the season through suspension. But we had Daniel Sturridge and his goals kept us ticking over till we got our main man back, and then we clicked into overdrive once we could get both of them on the field and we could do what we could do. Now there's a case where you've got Mane, Firmino, Salah. You've actually got three guys who are doing that job, and maybe you can jink things around. So you put Salah up front and you play Shaqiri. Maybe this just isn't an issue. Just isn't an issue at all. But there is something, I think, just having a guy there who... And bear in mind, Origi fits into this as well, because he's done this for Klopp as well. No one could accuse Divock Origi at any real point, apart from maybe in the Europa League games around that period and the run to the final, of being right for us. Our big criticism of Origi was always, it doesn't suit what we do. He scored 5 and 5, but he doesn't suit what we do.
There was talk of breaking Vardy's record, wasn't there, one year? It was.
It's just, you know. But this is the thing, is that I think this is the season where, more than any other season we'll have under Klopp, I think we will compromise. And compromise doesn't mean it is negative a thing in this connotation. I think we will adapt what we do to suit another forward player this season more than we have done in any previous seasons, because we know we've got plan A, and plan A works impeccably. If we can't find ways to make plan A work over and over again, I think we will see more pragmatism in how we approach this season, because we can't afford to go, fuck it, it's the, you know, we can't afford to go, oh well, it's only Everton in the derby, because we might need those 2 points this season if we're going to be fighting for the title.
I think you're right. I think you're absolutely spot on, mate. And that's kind of that, to be honest with you.
Yeah. So it does. It's interesting that, you know, I look at the scale of the gamble, and you know, the biggest gambles remain over Solanke, Wilson, Ojo, Brewster, all these lads who haven't really done it at senior level. Then you're looking at Ings to some extent, because at least you know he's done it in the past, Origi and Sturridge. So don't be shocked if this is the season when we thought definitively this was the season when we were going to see the back of Daniel Sturridge. We could end up in a world where he has this mad renaissance as a footballer, and I've got genuinely no problem with that. And if it means we get the goals that we need to fire us up there,
I think there's also something else to consider. We've talked about tiredness from the World Cup, lads. I'm pretty sure I read somewhere, and I'm sure people will correct me if I'm wrong on here, but the chances of injury after a World Cup season go up massively as well, don't they? So we've talked about options whereby, you know, you're missing Firmino for a game or two. We could miss one or two of these lads, and you've got to be able to plan for a long-term injury for these guys because of the football they've played in the World Cup.
And this is the thing. I just think we're going to double down on squad depth as much as we can. Now, there's probably a counterpoint to this, which is about the how many players you can register in the squad, which definitely warrants investigation. It's not something I've factored into this, of course. The only other side of this is that, and again, it's why I wonder, it'd be interesting to see who we loan out of the younger options, because, and I think Harry Wilson's a sensitive to this conversation as well, is we might have touched lucky that there's a generation who've just been promoted to the under-23s who I think this is our most talented crop of players that we've had in a long, long time, that we can let the lads go who are like age between 20, 21, 22. We can let them go and get a year of development, because they absolutely need to be playing senior football, and we won't give that to them this year. But if push comes to shove, we've now got the aforementioned Ryan Brewster, Curtis Jones and maybe Raf Camacho, who you're not looking to start, but if you have a crazy injury crisis or you're in the League Cup and you need to put a few on your bench, these lads have got enough talent that you're not putting a bunch of absolute fucking no marks in your side to balance it. And that's maybe how we do strike the balance with this squad. Senior squad is experienced, and then we probably rely a little more on a younger generation of players.
Yeah, and it would be nice, and I think Klopp's been working towards this since he came into the club, where we do have a developmental strategy for all the young lads. And what I mean by that is, when you've got lads who are clearly talented and who Klopp highly rates, like the likes of Rian Brewster, you've almost got to create a space in your squad for his development because of the level of talent that this lad has.
Yeah.
But for those other guys who maybe aren't the superstars of the under-23s, but you still think these lads could be professional footballers. Mm-hmm. You've got to give them room to breathe and grow as well. And I wonder if you might have hit upon something there whereby it's almost, that's the Liverpool way, if you know what I mean, where the young lads come in and they get that under-23 football. The under-23s go off and develop, and you see the sort of final stages of their development from afar. You bring them back in and then you make a decision, good enough, bad enough, let's move on, stick with the first team, you're going to get minutes this season.
Yeah, well, I think ideally, you know, let's be honest, you give yourself the opportunity to hit upon those once-in-a-generation talents who are at 17, 18 are just good enough to play in your team. Trent Alexander-Arnold's a good example of that at the minute. You know, and that's, the good thing is about those lads is, like I say, they're, and it may be premature in saying this, but I've been so impressed by Curtis Jones. So far, he looks comfortable. He's also quite a big lad, and he's got good control, you know, good feet and whatever.
Great hair.
Mad. No, he's got terrible hair, but it's terrible. But the point is that you feel as though you can rely on these players if called upon. But also, they're so young that he only stepped up to the under-23s in January. So a season in the under-23s is not going to do him any harm if he doesn't get any first-team football for Liverpool either way. Like, so I think that it'd be interesting to see how we do balance the squad this year, because I think there's defo some interesting stuff going to happen, and different maybe to what we've
nice
seen
topic,
so far.
Paul.
Thank you. We're going to move on and take your questions. We're going to do a whole set of extra questions. We did this last week as well, and I really enjoyed it, because we get brilliant questions from you guys every week, but there's just not space to do them on the free podcast. So we're going to take a load of extra questions. We're going to put them on the redmentv.com. Perfect chance for you to sign up if you want to do a bit more of this stuff, if you want to get transfer stuff in depth and detail, loads of the conversational stuff, and also coming back this week is stats and tactics. So if you want to get more in depth and detail on how things work for Liverpool on the pitch, Chris is covering that stuff from this week onwards. So yes, perfect time to go and sign up for your free month on the redmantv.com. anyway, one more thing before questions, Chris.
Yeah,
Dublin.
We're doing a live show.
We're going to do a live show
in Dublin.
It's
going to be amazing.
I cannot wait for this.
Where is it?
It is in Murray's Bar in
Dublin 1. That's the postcode.
Is it really?
It's just the postcode. I couldn't find anything else. Just Dublin 1.
Fantastic.
Everybody knows where that is,
just,
right?
Just search Murray's Bar and you'll find it. You can get the tickets for that now on C-Tickets, which is great. We'll put the link in the descriptions. It'll be out there on Twitter as well. But for those of you who are weirdly capable of typing something out as you're listening to this, it's bit.ly, which is bit.ly /RMTVDUB. That's RMTV dub.
And they have to be capitalised, I believe.
Yeah, sure. Capitalise them like a motherfucker. And get involved. We're going to be doing live chat, games, debate, getting news involved, having a bevy and a chat.
Loads of bevies.
Yeah, and we've got live music as well. So those of you who saw the clips from the last show we did, the back end of the season with Sound, it went off big time, and it's going to go off big time this time. I can't wait for that. So yeah, we're coming over. We're coming over on the ferry.
Which the last time, Paul, we went to a ferry to Dublin,
I vomited horrendously.
For 8 hours.
Yeah.
You played a fruit machine for 5 minutes, I think.
Yeah, we know we played the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire quiz machine for a bit to occupy me.
And they just carried on vomiting.
I just went back to being sick, yeah. Bit of a lesson to be learned from that is, if you're going to go on a boat, don't stay up drinking Guinness. And there was this shot, they were called Paddy Blasters, come from Jacaranda in town, and it was, I think it was black Sambuca and Baileys mixed together.
Nice. And my lesson that I learned is, take your ID when you go abroad.
Yeah. Yeah, we struggled to get saved. We were 18. That was a long time ago. Anyway, we're coming back to Dublin. Let's see if we can turn it up Red Men style. And you can get involved and say, go and get involved. Their tickets are available now, but they are selling out fast. There's a few left, so I would go.
They were selling out fast. You've let yourselves down big time and they've slowed down massively. So we've only got a few spaces to go, so you need to get it sorted now.
Yeah, get it boxed off. Don't be crying to us. This happens every time we do a live show. People go, that's all right. And I'll be honest, I do this with tickets too. I'm like, yeah, I'll sort that. Oh no, sold out. That will happen to you again.
Ours didn't sell out quite as fast as Paul McCartney tickets.
No, but I still think there will have been the mentality of people who were like, I'll box that at quarter past ten.
Oh no,
whereas literally we had 10 laptops on the go, all in queues for Paul McCartney tickets, and that's why we boxed Paul McCartney tickets off. Get your tickets sorted. Do not
it's
be that.
It's because we don't have real jobs. Yeah. And don't we're able be that to just person. Turn 10 laptops on and devote the entire attentions of Red Men TV to getting Paul McCartney
that's
tickets.
That's why the new show was late today. Don't be that person, or there are many people, because we get dozens of them on like in the day leading up or on the day going, I missed out, can I come in? No, you can't. Once the tickets are gone, you will not be getting in. So get your tickets boxed right now. Other than that,
look
you're
at
gonna
me,
be in a world
look
of trouble.
Are we on me? Yep. Sort your lives out, get it sorted, buy tickets for Red Men TV Live in Dublin. You will not be unhappy with your decision.
Perfect. Visual. No, that's one for the people watching the video. Audio. Buy tickets now. Okay, question time. Christopher Prowse, OC Prowse. Now
we're
is it
that for everyone?
Okay, sounds. Or is he OCP Rouse? I mean, we've got to say
OCP.
Company that made RoboCop. Can you please say something to calm my nerves about the next season? I feel this will be a harder season than the last, which is my favourite season since Istanbul. The positivity of last season rocked my world, and now I'm scared that I might be a long time until the next time. I feel he fell apart a bit at the end of that question there. We don't know how next season's going to go. We can't possibly know how next season's going to go, but this is the first season Liverpool are going into that I can remember where we ended on a feeling of you know, positivity. Let's take the caveat of us not winning the Champions League final, but
we did absolutely not end on the field of
no
positivity.
No, but we Liverpool ascended to a level that we haven't been to in a long time. When Liverpool reached the peak there or thereabouts, and whether that's and fall short, so that's finishing second in the league, or in this instance finishing runner up in the Champions League, what normally happens is one of our best players gets sold off in the summer, or we sell a bunch, we have mad like squad rehabilitation where we cut out a lot of the old senior players and we bring in a load of random ones and we get it horrendously wrong, and the season that follows is normally terrible, and we always think it's going to be okay, but in hindsight you can look and you can see how those seasons end up getting constructed. There's just no sense that's happening this time around. We're keeping all of our best players, we're tying them all down to longer deals, and we're adding quite clearly talented footballers for good money as well to the squad that we were doing. You can see already that squad was lacking and how we're filling those gaps. And look, yes, it's not filled yet. I think there's still a few obvious things, as mentioned earlier, the goalkeeper situation and what have you. But if Liverpool started the season tomorrow, we would be in a far better position strength-wise in terms of talent. The young players are better. The players that we've got are a season more developed, a season more together as a squad, and we've added talent. And in addition to that, the teams around us, our rivals, apart from Man United, haven't really kicked on in terms of their business yet. So, you know, Liverpool are very, very strongly positioned to have a very, very good season this year. So no need to be nervous, other than the general nerves that you get supporting Liverpool, because, you know, it means you love footy and that's boss. There you go.
It's true.
You're welcome. Steor asks
Steor.
Oh my God. If you were a WWE wrestler, what would you call your finishing move?
Okay, can I have some confirmation that there was a finishing move called DDD? Was Diamond Dallas?
The Diamond Cutter.
What was that? What was his? DDP or something
his
like
name
that?
Is, well, Diamond Dallas Page.
So it's DDP.
An acronym of that is okay. DDP.
I've gone something similar then, not the same.
It's the CCP.
No, it's the DDD.
Okay.
It's the Dangleberry Doomsday Drop.
Okay, sad. Is it like a teabagging style situation?
It's like a banzai drop
from
Yokozuna.
Yes.
Which is the banzai drop.
Yeah.
Except I am pulling my little whiteys up through my clack, so it's a bit like a thong. I'm getting on the turnbuckle. I'm getting on the turnbuckle. And then I'm just going to go straight in. And if I've got any dangleberries, smothered. The Dangleberry Doomsday Drop.
Wow, I've put no. I was just gonna wing this one, but now I've seen. I totally fucked me there. Like, how the hell do you follow on with that? No, I've got nothing even remotely that comes close to being able to answer that question. Sounds thanks, Steve. I hope everyone's pleased with that answer. Josh Taylor, 17. This is a belter of a question. Actually, what sport would be the funniest to add a mandatory amount of alcohol to?
Anything on ice. Absolutely anything on ice. I'm thinking speed skating, because those are really sharp, aren't they? And there's always loads of crashes where you take people out anyway, and these are like the best in the world doing this sport.
Yeah.
Sober. So anyone doing that drunk's brilliant. Anyone who
I think that the curling in that instance, you've got weapons, that's going to turn. And to be honest, the Scots are always amazing. Well, the Scots are already amazing at curling, but you're giving them massive stones and brushes and bevies.
Carnage.
World War III. Yeah. So I'd be bang up for that. I think I'm not sure there's many sports. The only one, and in terms of pure safety, I think we can discount the motorsports, because you get behind a Formula One car bladdered. I mean, let's be honest, the vast majority of people tune into Formula One for the crashes. So at least you're going to guarantee that. But I mean, that's just a death.
I was thinking about darts, but then I think they probably all are anyway.
Yeah. There's that
they're great, all ale houses, aren't they?
There's a great sketch, and it was from not the 9 o'clock news back in like the early 90s or late 80s, and it was drinking darts, and though darts with they've got a table full of bevvies in front of him, and he goes, he's going for a pint, and then he's got like shorts and stuff, and it's whoever collapses first. Yeah,
I think the other, there's another two sports. There's a Finnish sport called wife carrying where you have to do an obstacle course, and I think doing an obstacle course under the influence with your wife on your back is just going to lead to a world of pain for you for the next however many months after you've ended her life. And the only other one is road cycling. I mean, like the Tour de France, those bikes ride so close together, and there's already so many crashes that if you were to do that,
there's so many scraped knees coming, Chris. Ah,
broken collarbones.
No, I'm not down with that. Go on, let us know if you're watching.
And obviously, Gloucestershire cheese rolling, is it? I mean, that looks like they're all pissed anyway.
Yeah.
You'd have to get me drunk to even attempt that.
The boat race. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Go ahead.
Death of a load of fellows on a river.
Yeah. Okay. Clemency_...
Also fan cams.
At Clemency LFC, yeah.
That's our sport, like, but we've been there a couple of times.
Yeah. Favourite non-LFC EPL players in each of the past three decades? His are in the tens, Silva in the noughties, Didier Drogba, and in the 90s, Eric Cantona. What did you go for?
I've gone, apparently there's only one standout in the 2010s for me, in the 2000s, sorry, and that's Henri.
Yeah,
by far and away my favourite player from that era. And I've just listed one name then. In the 90s, I've gone Janino from Middlesbrough.
Okay.
Loved watching him play football. Zola, Bergkamp, Kincladze from City. Ooh. And Alan Shearer.
I went Shearer, defo. I used to have an Alan Shearer poster on my wall when from his Blackburn days as a kid. Back in the day when you used to get shoes.
I had that shirt.
Yeah.
And I had the Newcastle one as well.
Yeah. Thierry Henry, totally agree, for the noughties, you know, just those players. And I think it often ends up being, quite simply, the player that's just the best player in the league, isn't it? And I think Bergkamp's a decent shout in that regard as well. Like, you like others, but there's some that transcend club rivalries. And I actually agree to some extent. I think Cantona's a decent shout. It was tough.
I can't.
It was tough, but there was just something like... there was a real guilty pleasure in Eric Cantona, and it was kind of spoiled by the fact that we ended up being his comeback game, and he ended up we nearly fucked it.
If he had just stayed at Leeds, he'd have been there.
Yeah, if we just signed him from Sheffield Wednesday, everything would have been great. I agree with the shout of David Silva for more recently as well, or Aguero, to be honest.
So I've gone Suarez because he's not a Liverpool player now. I think I might be cheating there a little bit. Then my other two are Silva, and interestingly, really recent, De Bruyne. Mm-hmm. I just think he's playing at a level that maybe even Silva didn't reach.
Yeah, it's interesting. And it just as an aside, I thought I'd do it in terms of goalkeepers as well. It was Schmeichel in the 90s, Cech in the noughties, and then probably De Gea more recently as well. In terms of goalkeepers, I'll look at and go, yeah. Petr Cech was just unreal. That because they had Carlo Cudicini in goal, and he was the best goalkeeper in the Premier League, and they upgraded on him, and he basically never got a game for them again. With Cech, and he was even better, absolutely class. Perfect. We're going to wrap that up there. We've got more questions coming up, as I say, on the RedmenTV.com, including from Alan Tobin. Why do people tweet Tony Barrett and ask him if we're going to sign anyone? We're going to be picking our WWE/WWF Superstar 11. Which of the Redmen TV?
With this show,
we've got some stuff about the Redmen TV. Cast and crew, friend style sitcom with Liverpool players, and what does a 5-a-side Redmen team look like? So get over to the RedmenTV.com if you want more. Yes, slow. Yeah, tight around the lower part of football shirt. Get over to RedmenTV.com, sign up and check that out. And as I say, other than that, get your tickets bought for Dublin. And if you're around, I won't be doing the podcast next week. I'm going to be over in New York, so come and check me out. I'm going to be filming a live show in Carragher's Bar on Wednesday, July the 25th from 1 p.m. local time, ahead of the Man City game. So come and say hello. That should be good fun. Other than that, thank you for watching, listening, and walk on.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.